I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for Monday, September the 19th, 2016, to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Mr. Mishka is absent.
Mr. Mishka is excused. Six members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome you to our City Council meeting tonight. If there's something you need, want council to address, please let me know by raising your hand at the appropriate time. For now, though, please join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Capalini.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item three is additions to the agenda, and we do have a report from the public hearing for zoning application 2016 listed tonight. Has been distributed at your places tonight. Proposed ordinance 57-2016, which I would like you to add as 7A if you choose to act on it tonight. I have no other items. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to schedule a finance committee meeting.
All right, we'll add that in as 11A, schedule finance.
Thank you.
We have two 11s.
Which one did you just change?
So here's 11.
Oh, on the agenda numbers, not the resolution. Okay. All right.
We should probably read number 11 to 12 and 12 to 13.
Got it. All right. I was, the resolution for the schools are 11, so I was trying to, I thought that's what you were talking about. All right. Any additional items from members of City Council? Mr. Lukey?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, a quick report on the status of the Olander Park levy.
We'll make that, want to make it 14, or you want to do it after the school report, the school levy report?
Whatever you prefer. It's really not related.
Let's put it down at 14.
Yeah.
The board met tonight, and you're going to report on their board meeting?
Yes, and there's specifically a discussion about the levy.
All right, good. Any other items from members of City Council? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda item four is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on September the 6th. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the September 6th, 2016 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that those meeting minutes from September 6th, 2016 be approved as submitted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item five, we are honored and pleased to have with us tonight Sammy Young, who is a sophomore at Northview High School and has recently been crowned National American Miss Ohio Junior Teen Cover Girl. And she's here to tell us about her experience to get to that position and what's coming up next for her. So welcome and congratulations, Sammy.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sammy Young, and I am a sophomore at Sylvania Northview High School. Usually, I am not a pageant girl. I'm more of a girl that does swimming. I am on the varsity swim team. I am also on the varsity water polo team, and I also compete in track. So, back in July, I competed in the National American Miss Ohio State Competition for the title of either Miss Ohio or Miss Cover Girl. Miss Carnival is where you sell advertisement representing your city through the pageant system. And what happens is you go up to companies around the city and you're like, do you want to do advertising on this scale? And if they say yes, they can. And if they say no, well, you move on. So I was recently crowned the cover girl because I sold the most amount of advertising. Now, to get not only to just be cover girl, I also had to do formal wear, which is escorted either with my dad or and also final formal wear, which is just by myself on stage. I also do a personal introduction in front of 150 plus people, including 7 to 8 judges. Not only that, I also have an interview with those judges. Now, moving on from that, I also will be going to Nationals over Thanksgiving week in Anaheim, California, where I will do the same exact things and go through many rehearsals, going back to the final finale on possibly becoming the National All-American Miss Junior Team Queen, or anything below that would also be awesome. So thank you.
Sammy, you're a sophomore at Northview, so that I assume you're about 15, is that correct?
Yes, I'm 15.
That seems like an awful lot to have accomplished in the phase when you're just 15.
I actually started pageants about 4 years ago when I was 11, so I kind of started late for my age.
And I understand that you're going to go with your family cross country on a old fashioned car trip to Anaheim, California for this camp competition.
Yeah, we found out that plane tickets were very expensive, so I'm like,
it's Thanksgiving weekend, you said.
Yeah, I'm like, I've never been on a cross country road trip. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Just make your folks stop enough so you can get out and walk around. And I bet they will.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Congratulations. We wish you the very best of luck, and thank you for representing our school system, our city.
Thank you.
Now, Sammy and her parents have requested a photograph with City Council, and what I proposed was that to have City Council just close in around behind us here, and we'll let the four people stand and sit that are here. We're just squeezed together, the four of us. Well, you're going to leave. Okay. All right. So let's just squeeze in here a little bit more. Come on up. I guess we should stand up.
You all wanted to get up and move around anyhow, right?
Good. We shouldn't sit so much.
Usually
you should come right in the middle.
2 hours in.
And when she said she wanted to do this a few years ago, we said, no, you don't.
We'll just stand a little bit like that. Are we good?
Try that cross-country trip in a 57 stop for the bus. No air conditioning, no radio.
You are. Sammy, you and your folks are welcome to go or you're welcome to stay. I probably recommend going.
She gets to go to water polo practice.
All right, that sounds more important.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are up to agenda item 6. You have in your council packets proposed resolution 11-2006 to support the school levy. You also had distributed at your places this evening a letter from Superintendent Scott Nelson and also some financial data of the current school operating budget and the projected fund to 2020, and then also report of their campaign committee, showing the activities that they are hoping to do for the passage of the levy. I don't know if you have had a chance to review these. We did email them to you earlier, but there could be that there's some questions on these. It would appear to me that the projections do not include your levy, or they do. No, because it doesn't show any increase in the property tax. And what is the expected increase that occurs as a result?
6.4 million.
And you must be going to...
That's the general fund.
Okay.
And then 1.4 million...
For capital. Yes. A question that I had on it was, if I go down towards the bottom, and it's difficult for me to read on this, but you had excess of revenue over expenses, I believe it says, and you were showing a negative each year, but it was not ever $6.2 million. So this must be showing rolled back expenditures. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm misreading. It's very hard to read. It's quite small. I just wanted to clarify that in my own mind, so when I'm asked, I know how to answer it properly.
Are you looking at line item 6.01?
Yes.
That would just indicate that we are on deficit spending.
Yes, it does. It's in, but it's listing numbers like 600,000 and then 1.1 million, 2.4 million. 2.4 million, 3.6, 4.8, I believe.
Yeah, that's just indicating that we've been in deficit spending. On that 6.1, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, you projected these numbers out starting in 2016, and it goes to 2020, and you're sure still only showing deficit spending of 4.8 million in 2020. So you're still going to, and you're taking in $6.4 million a year more?
Yes. If you look at the 2016 at the end, our available cash balance, I believe, I don't have the updated five-year forecast.
Okay.
I think it's 2.7 million or 2.4 million. On line item 15.01 at the end of 2016, is it 2.7 million?
Yes, it is.
That represents 12 days of cash.
Okay.
So there's also this forecast. Does not represent any kind of increases for our staff except for longevity.
All right.
And there's also programs that we haven't been able to...
That was my initial question.
Yes.
I'm assuming that if the levy passes, you'll be able to put new programming into place, because this makes it look like you're still going to be putting money in the bank every year.
Right.
And I bet that's not the plan.
No, we're actually...
Maybe for the first few years, but not every year, I wouldn't think. So that's why I asked the question. Can you tell me, Scott, what those additional programs are that you're considering?
Sure, I could tell you in the city council that some of the programs would potentially be expansion of existing, so foreign language into the possibly the elementary. I'd like to see some of our fine arts, the music, being expanded down into that area as well. Like to have a more formal or robust STEM program possibly as well. Those would be some examples.
Perhaps a reduction in class sizes.
Class sizes would be a focus for us as well.
And are these items that would assist you in the state's grades that were handed out? The additional funding, I believe, has to help you meet the goals that the state's pushing you towards.
Sure. Here's how I would answer that, Mayor Stau, is that during our presentation, you've seen that we're still 78 staff members down, and we've done that and maintained that on purpose, obviously, to live within our means and to make our monies last as long as possible. In doing so, that takes a lot of teachers programming away from our kids, and that doesn't give us as much flexibility then. So when you talk about the state report card, passage of the levy will give us the ability to have more robust enrichment intervention programs and to meet some of the new things the state is asking all school districts to do beyond even that, we want to expand, as I've mentioned before, our mental health initiatives and those types of things. So we're helping our kids. We'd like to start helping our families because, as many of you well know, many of the issues we deal with aren't just the kids. It's a family problem. And we don't really have that kind of funding to do that. So that would just be another example as well. I can go on if you want me to.
I assumed that was going to be the answer, but I wanted you to have a chance to say that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Any further questions from City Council? This was ordered legislation. It's in your packets, Resolution 11-2016.
Scott, I just want to address the report card issue briefly. And I've had a lot of feedback about the report card in the last week. I guess I know the tests have changed. It's a different thing than it's not the same report card that we had before.
Right.
3 years, three different tests. These tests are definitely, as I understand it, more challenging. They demand more. But by the same token, I've had people compare Sylvania to Anthony Wayne and Perrysburg, and I've pretty much gone, assured them from my conversations with some school board members that there are efforts currently underway and continuing underway to address those issues, because I know you're still teaching kids and kids are still learning, but these measurements have a direct impact on how our community is perceived from a desirability of a place to live in. And I think you know that and you understand that, but I definitely want to take this opportunity to share that with you on behalf of constituents that I've talked to,
sure,
who are concerned about that drop in the report card, and particularly in comparison to our, two of our suburban competitors, if you will. We all live in a region, and we're all interested in doing well, but nevertheless, we do to a degree compete for families to come here and live here, and so I would urge you to do those things necessary to restore those grades and enhance those performance. And I'm hopeful that restoring some of those 78 lost positions and restoring some of those programs will result in that. And it's good to hear that you expect that it will.
Right. Thank you, Doug. I appreciate that, and I appreciate that feedback. If anybody saw, I was talking to President Westfall before, and if you saw my quote in the paper and some of the things that I've been saying internally to our teaching and learning department and others, I'm not going to go out there and make excuses. We're not. All the things you said, even though Ohio Department of Education is saying you can't compare it to before, it's new, this is a baseline, and that's all true, but our reality is our report card, and people do base many decisions on that. And though some of the parts of that may be invalid or not fair to some of our kids, that we're not going to make excuses. We have to figure it out, and confident that we will. They are currently, we're meeting, I'm not meeting with them, but building by building, going through all the data, creating plans, and focusing in on some of those areas where we need to, whether it's reflective of other suburban communities or not, doesn't matter to me. Our goal is to be the best, and not to be the best so we can say we're the best, but to be the best for our students. And I firmly believe that, and we will end up getting there, Doug, and getting to where we need to be.
And that's exactly what our community needs to hear, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no further questions, we need the resolution introduced. This is Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 11-2016. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania supporting the 5.7 mil levy request of the Sylvania City School District, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded the resolution number 11-2016 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of resolution number 11-2016.
Second.
And moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 11-2016 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 11-2016 is approved unanimously.
Thank you so much. Your vote in coming together for us is meaningful not only to me but to the board, and your overall view of the community is well followed by us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thanks, Scott. Go get him.
You are also welcome to stay, but don't feel you need to. Are you folks here for a particular issue tonight?
She is here for her government class. She has to have so many service hours.
All right. Thank you for coming. Of interest, you just heard how we did that resolution. There were two votes on it. There were two votes to pass that resolution. We'll do that a few more times tonight. And the first one is really just a motion to read by title only rather than read the whole resolution and to waive the second and third readings. So that shortens the process to one council night instead of three. And then the second motion was to pass it as an emergency measure. That's to do it in one night rather than three readings as well. And we have to have at least five members of City Council vote for it to do that. And most legislation is passed that way. We'll see. I don't know that there's any tonight. We'll see how it goes. What school are you from?
Notre
Dame. Very good. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on with our agenda. We're up to agenda item 7, which is a report on the public hearing held this evening concerning zoning application 2-2016 for the Toledo Lucas County Public Library new branch on King. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you stated, we did hold a public hearing this evening, Monday, September 19th at 7:15. Five members of council were present, and we did welcome public comment on the zoning ordinance amendment ZA-2-2016, a request from the Toledo Lucas County Public Library for zoning change from R1 single family residential large lot district to B1B modified business and office district for property located on Sylvania Avenue and King for three lots in that location. It had been referred to the Sylvania Municipal Planning Commission and discussed at their August 10th meeting, and they approved moving it forward with a vote of 5-0. We did not have anyone here to speak in favor of or against it. Mr. Matt Lewandowski was here to speak to it and if we had any questions that needed response. But there was no public comment. And so the council members, Doug Hanum, put a motion on the floor that we advance legislation this evening at the council meeting, and Mr. Mark Lutke seconded that and all approved, so we'd like to advance legislation this evening. The meeting adjourned at 7:20.
All right, there was distributed following that public hearing proposed ordinance 57-2016. We've added to the agenda as agenda item 7A. This does approve that zoning change. All requirements have been met, so I recommend passage of it this evening. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 57-2016. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning ordinance amendment number ZA-2-2016 on the petition of the Toledo Lucas County Public Library to change the zoning of 7461, 7453, and 7445 Sylvania Avenue and 3986 King Road in the city of Sylvania, Ohio, comma, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 57-2016 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, I move final passage of ordinance number 57-2016 as an emergency measure.
Second. We moved and seconded that ordinance 57-2016 be read by title only, or excuse me, be passed as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 57-2016 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8, we have the Planning Commission's report for proposed zoning ordinance ZA3-2016. You can see that after appropriate consideration, they have recommended to you approval of the zoning change as requested by the applicant, Mercurio Construction. The issue to take tonight is to set the public hearing date. The clerk of council notes on the agenda that the earliest available date would be November the 7th. Looking at my calendar, I see no conflicts that evening, no other hearings or public meetings. I would recommend the public hearing be set for that night, 7 p.m.
Mr. Mayor, if I recall correctly, this parcel backs up to an R1 neighborhood. Is that
there right? Are some single-family homes behind it, some fairly nice single-family homes. The applicant has shown a privacy fence on his drawing. However, it is not a planned unit development or planned development. It is a zoning change. And the reasons for the R2 zoning or for the B2 zoning were described to us. The adjacent zoning on the two sides were reviewed and our master plan was reviewed as well.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering whether we will have any public.
I don't know. There will be letters going out to all those people. Those, even though the houses in the back are in the township, they will get notices the same as anybody within the city limits. The clerk is compiling that list to send those notices to now.
I guess my question goes really to what time we ought to schedule the hearing, whether we ought to do that at 7 or 6:45 or we. Why don't we set it at 7? If we have to push back the start of our council meeting, we'll do that.
I think that's appropriate. We certainly have to take all the time that's necessary for a public hearing.
It is election night eve. Is that impact that at all for you?
Other than the fact I can't wait for this election to be over. beyond that, I don't think it's going to impact me. Would you rather we move it up?
No.
Anybody else?
I think it's fine. 7.
Okay. If we have a room full, it might push back our meeting.
It will. I doubt that it'll be a room full. I think there are 7 or 8 homes that are just on the back, something like that.
That's what I recall. All right. Well, then, I would move that we schedule a public hearing for zoning ordinance amendment ZA-3-2016 for November 7th, 2016 at 7 p.m. in council chambers.
Second.
Moved and seconded to set the public hearing date as Monday, November the 7th, 7 p.m. in these council chambers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is instructed to make that public notice by advertisement in the local newspaper and to send out the notices. Moving on to agenda item 9, excuse me. You have the report from the service director concerning our storm management, and you did receive, I believe, at your council places tonight, a new copy of the proposed stormwater management plan with all the pages included, and also the Sylvania anti-litter law, Chapter 503 attached, so this is a total package There was a printing error that missed every other sheet for what went into the council packets. Mr. Hanem, thank you for catching that. And also to Mrs. Westfall for wanting to take a look at the anti-litter law, which is quoted or referred to on page 12. I'd like the law director to explain what this is, what the timing of this is. We have had a stormwater plan before, but we need to update it. So, Mr. Aller.
The stormwater management plan is something that is required as part of our EPA stormwater permit. We are in the second permit phase. They are five-year permits, and we're in year two of the second permit phase. We're considered a small municipal storm sewer separate system, shortened as MS4. And as such, we are required to have a stormwater management plan as part of the requirement of the permit. This is basically the stormwater management plan that we put in. We made modifications for the updates in the current permit and things of that nature. Everything that's in this permit is what we've actually been doing. It's just a documentation or formalization of those processes. And the minimum control measures that are listed there, I won't read each and every one of them, but those are all required minimum control measures in the permit. And the items that we have listed in our stormwater management plan satisfy the requirements of those minimum control measures. So if you have any questions on what those are or what they might mean, I'd be happy to answer them. But I would recommend approval of the plan. And then once you do obtain that approval, then we'll submit it to Ohio EPA for their acceptance. And we'll continue to move forward as we have been with our stormwater management.
Didn't we review one of the, we've done this before, right?
Yes, it was reviewed before my time, actually, because the initial permit came into effect during Mr. Ballmer's time. And then that expired in 13, and this new one became effective in 14, and then you have 2 years to make all of the necessary updates and things of that nature.
Well, it looked very familiar to what I reviewed before, and I remember before talking about charitable car washes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay, so there's no change. Are there any substantive changes from that plan to this plan? I know there are dates. There's some dates that have been plugged in here.
Yeah, no, really no substantive changes. The plan is to continue to do the same thing. We had to change some of our education pieces and things like that, but they were requirements of the plan. So really nothing substantive, as far as how we're going to operate.
Made for a wonderful reading.
Yes.
You are correct, Mr. Hanem. In the past, Mr. Oberle was the administrator for our stormwater management plan.
Right.
And are there public educational portions of this that need to be done as well?
Yes, we have one of the control measures, public education, and we do that through flyers that you may have noticed in the water bills in the past. We've done it through newspaper articles. We've done it through different measures. One of the things that we do plan to do with the production of the calendar is that once every quarter we'll have a stormwater tip within that calendar. So that'll be another opportunity for us to meet the public education requirements. So we are working with TEMACOG right now for a district-wide, regional-wide stormwater education piece, and that, when everybody's working together, it obviously lessens the cost for everybody. So those are the kind of things that we do through this program.
I think public education is probably the most important one, because people don't get it.
Yeah, it's we have to continue to get it to of educate them. When we see people doing washing the cars in driveways and things like that, you know, if we see it, our sanitary or our sewer department sees it, we try to make a stop and say, you know, it's great you're washing your car, but maybe do it in the lawn. And then, you know, the lawn will absorb it rather than doing it in the driveway, which drains right down into the storm sewer. So things like that, kids angry at the East out. This past weekend was actually one of the events that we participate in as far as the public involvement, as far as the second member control measure, public involvement, clean the streams. That event was this past weekend. It was on Saturday. What a miserable day to have an event, but it is what it is. So so those are the kinds of things that are involved in this process. Not too long ago, going down to the third mental control measure, we found a connection that the owner had recently purchased a home and was having trouble in his basement with some of his facilities down there. And unfortunately, once we went down there to help him, but when we got there, we found out that he actually was connected, part of the system was connected to the storm sewer system, which was illegal. He didn't know it. He purchased it that way. So, but he did have to correct it. So those are the kinds of things that we... No, it was actually on Alexis Road. It was an odd situation. Just off of Alexis Road, not right on it. About two houses off. So those are the kinds of things that all of that fall into. We're required, as part of our permit, we're required to report that illegal connection and how we resolve it and things like that. So.
You do have in your council packets proposed ordinance 56-2014 adopting this stormwater management plan for the city of Sylvania. I know that you just got the entire plan. However, Mr. Aller has been working on this for some time. It's a revision of what we had before. You're welcome to take the next 2 weeks to review it, or I think you can pass it tonight, but that's entirely your call. Mr. Mishka, Chairman of Utilities, is not here tonight. I don't know if you've had any conversations with Mr. Mishka concerning this.
I let him know that it was coming up. I was hoping to be able to get it to council in advance for a little more review time. But we had formatting issues, and as you ended up finding out, we ended up having printing and copying issues. That wasn't possible. It would be my hope that we'd be able to pass this tonight so that we could get it down to EPA. But if the council wishes to hold it until the next meeting, that's fine.
Mr. Fry, I'm going to look to you in the absence of the utility committee chair.
I'm fine with moving forward if all the members of council don't have any major objections.
I'm fine with it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 56-2016. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Adopting the Stormwater Management Plan for the City of Sylvania, Ohio, authorizing the Director of Public Service to submit the plan to the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency, waiving the second, third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 56-2016 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption, final adoption of ordinance number 56-2016.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 56-2016 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 56-2016 is approved. Thank you. And we'll get that on down to Ohio EPA. Moving on to agenda item 10. Because of the upcoming production of a city calendar for calendar year 2017, we need to set council dates, and we also need to set trick-or-treat dates so that we can get it accurately on the council. That's why this is ahead of schedule. I do have one comment for consideration and that is to change some of the changed council meeting dates when we have a Monday holiday date. It's been brought to my attention by one of the members of council that it might create a travel problem, and it has me as well. We used to do these meetings on Wednesdays rather than Mondays following a three-day holiday. And I might recommend you to consider that for all of these, unless you find that that's a problem in your schedules. They were traditionally pushed to the Wednesday for just that reason, and then there was a conflict from the then president of council with some other activities. I don't know if it affects your board meetings. It might do that. I'm not sure.
Some of them may, actually.
So that would be a reason not to do them.
So these all move our Monday holidays to Wednesday, right?
No, right, it's set on here, they're to Tuesdays. That's what the clerk proposed it. But it occurred to me, once I talked to a member of council, that, you know, some of us travel on those three-day holidays, and it might be good to change some of them, or all of them, to the Wednesday. But if there's a conflict, like Mrs. Westfall may have a conflict on few of them.
I see, Tuesdays.
I don't know what, you just checked, you must be able to know it's the, right. It's a certain Wednesday of every
it's
month.
There are two dates?
It's two. It would be January 3rd.
Okay, yeah, I was looking at the Planning Commission meetings.
It's January 17th. And the 21st,
and one in September.
So if those are a problem, just change the ones that work. I would certainly recommend changing New Year's Day, that three-day weekend, I bet. You might want to change that one to the 4th. Yeah. Labor Day is another one that I'd recommend you changing. And if the 17th and the 21st of February are problems, don't change those.
I would have conflicts if we move those two to Wednesdays. The 17th and the 21st, so if we could leave those there. But I do like that.
So, yeah, okay. So we're going to move Tuesday, the January 3rd, to Wednesday, January 4th. Is that the plan?
I think that's a good plan.
And what else, Beth, please?
Then also September 5th.
September 6th.
That's Labor Day weekend. Switch that to Wednesday the 6th.
And then the others stay the same.
And there are only a couple other ones. The 17th of January and the 21st of February would stay on the Tuesdays due to a conflict with a different board meeting. Does that create any problem? That inconsistency create a problem for anybody? Chief, are you aware of any issues for the use of this room? That's far enough ahead that you can probably plan around it. Also note that this schedule does not list a first council meeting in the months of July and August. That's come to be the way we do it recently. And if you were to look at your calendars for next year, July, our first meeting would be on July 3rd, right in the middle of a four-day weekend for the 4th of July. That's the one to miss. And then August, we just traditionally have been letting that one go, as allowed by the city charter, not be meeting on August 7th, but meeting on the 20th. Actually, it should be the 21st. 20 to my 2017 calendar.
What month?
August should be the 21st. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just take a quick look at these. My quick run down through looks right. The only one, the other one that would change on here is August 21st, not the 16th. again, to summarize the changes, there'd be three changes on the calendar that was in your council packets. January 3rd becomes January the 4th. August 16th becomes the 21st. September 5th becomes September the 6th. And we will list these together with the Planning Commission dates right on that proposed city calendar. I think we need a motion to approve that schedule.
I move that we approve the schedule as presented with the changes announced.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the proposed meeting schedule as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then 10B is to set trick-or-treat date. We haven't even gotten to it for 2016, but we need to list it on there. And October 31st is a Tuesday. Next year, that seems like a good date as well. It's a school night. We'll get some complaints that it's a school night, but I still think it's appropriate to do it on Halloween. It only lasts till 7:30. So that also takes a motion.
I move that we set trick-or-treat for 2017 on Tuesday, October 31st.
Second.
Moved and seconded setting trick-or-treat as October 31st, 2017. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Sanford, any update on the calendar?
Yes, I was able to get an update on it. Today, it's progressing very well. My hope is to have something for council to look at it. The next council meeting will be enough at that time to show you what it's going to look like. I'm pleased with what I've seen so far, so I'm anxious to show it to everyone and get your feedback. But everyone's been great, but this is a big help with these dates. We're getting a lot of community dates. Kevin mentioned the stormwater issue, that'll be in there. So we're moving right along.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to agenda item 11, which is a notice of a liquor permit change. This is the change in the principal ownership. This is over in the Kroger Shopping Center on Sylvania Avenue. There is the Smokehouse Bistro going in the former space over there, and if you look on the back side, I believe this is the change in the LLC membership interest. It's not a new permit. I don't know that it's being sold. It's being transferred. Chief, you have any issues with this or any confusion in your mind as to what's going on?
Basically, this is a transfer of the stock from one party to another party there. So the police department has no objections or concerns at this time, and it would be my recommendation to council to not request a hearing.
Any further comments from anybody? There's been a liquor permit at this address for some time, and no problems, so I don't see any reason to resist it or ask for a hearing. Is there a motion to that effect?
I move that no public hearing be requested for the transfer of this liquor permit for Varding LLC doing business at Smokehouse Bistro.
Second.
So moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this change of ownership on this liquor permit. Going to the second page of our agenda, now agenda item 12. Oh, we need to vote on this, excuse me. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Now to the second page, agenda item 12, committee reports. We did add to that 12A, schedule a finance committee meeting. Mrs. Westfall.
Yes, I received a message from Mr. Scheuer that our financial advisor has recommended that we consider refinancing our outstanding bonds and feels that there could be some significant savings to the city. So I'd like to schedule a meeting for discussion of that. You know, I've neglected to ask you, Toby, if you think that, how much time you think we'll need for that?
No more than a half hour.
So, okay. So I thought perhaps we could do that before the next council meeting.
That'd be fine. And I'll probably have our financial advisor come to that.
So for the members of the finance committee, is that an option for your schedules? That would be October 3rd, Monday, October 3rd at 7 o'clock.
That's fine with me, Mary. Can I ask a question, though, which might affect the timing? You and I had some discussion about a new community request for funding in the city budget. And I think preliminarily we said it would be nice to have sort of an informal conversation with this party to hear what they have in mind and kind of help them understand the parameters for city funding. We don't do that routinely every year for all of our requests, I think just the new ones. So would this be an appropriate time for that?
I think it would be, and I did lose sight of that, so I apologize to you, Mr.
Well, Mr. Schroyer actually reminded me, so.
So do you think that we'll need more than 15 minutes for that initial discussion to have them come and make a few remarks?
Yeah, maybe a half hour.
Okay. So that would mean, is there time for people to join us at 6:30, the finance committee members?
Yeah.
So.
That's becoming tight for me. I'm going to be in Akron, but I think I can get here by then.
Well, and if you missed the YMCA piece first.
First, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, and thanks for bringing that to my attention. So that'll be Monday, October 3rd at 6:30 here in the council chambers for the finance committee. Thank you.
Okay, the clerk should advertise that finance committee meeting on Monday, October the 3rd at 6:30 p.m.
Who wants to reach out to the YMCA?
I'm happy to.
Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or any committee referrals and item 13? Hearing none, we'll move on to added agenda item. Mr. Lukey offered to give us an update on the Olander Park levy, which did not make the ballot.
Right, and as one of the co-chairs of the levy campaign, I went to their commissioners meeting tonight. They had a bit of a discussion about this. Just by way of background, I think you've read in the newspaper that the proposition to put the tax on the ballot was approved by their commissioners. It was reviewed by the county auditor. But staff at the Olander Park System failed to take the final step, which was submitted to the Board of Elections. Not only by the deadline, but not all. And so that and the fact that the error was discovered very, very late made it difficult for the Board of Elections to reconsider it and put it back on the ballot. If they had done so, it would have meant that every one of the ballot numbers that had already been assigned to local issues, not county issues, but local issues, would have to have been redone. And it was nearly a month too late. So I think they decided that it was logistically and legally impossible for them to make a change at this point.
Can you just explain a little bit more about what is the process that requires the order? Is it alphabetical? Is it, why couldn't they
it's
just
by,
add
it's
it
by
at the end?
The size of the jurisdiction. Oh. So it's okay. State issues first, county issues second, special zoning districts third, ahead of local school districts and so on. So Olander's Park System is a special zoning district that's bigger than any single local constituency. So it was somewhere in the middle of the pecking order. The result of that, of course, is that it's not on the ballot. The levy, which was to have been in part a renewal, will lapse, and no levy dollars will be able to be collected in 2017. The commissioners tonight, in a very top-line discussion, indicated that they'd already had meetings with their staff to try to eliminate about $200,000 out of the budget for this year yet by making changes to our staffing salaries, eliminating some of the programs that do not generate a return on, do not break even, basically. The $200,000 from this year will be carried over to next year to help them balance the budget, and the same kind of savings would take place at that time. That may include eliminating programs such as the swimming program, which is very popular.
Such as what?
Swimming. the swimming, you know, they have to pay lifeguards to staff that, so it's very expensive for them. It may involve changing times that the parks are open. What that represents, and I didn't do the math in my head, but they have a $900,000+ budget now, and it would reduce it to $700,000. So it's a fairly substantial hit. They think that by doing that and by doing some creating a community support organization like the Metro Parks have, and by seeking some underwriting, that they'll be able to break even at that lower level next year. So the commissioners basically promised that they would come up with a more specific set of cuts and communicate those to the community. So that's where they are. They also are going to consider putting it on the ballot in 2017. The issue there is that whether they go in May or November and pass, it won't be collected until 2018. So no funding from the public at all for 2017.
Well, you know, this gets to the issue about funding a park in the middle of our city with a renewable levy. Mm-hmm. We don't do that with our schools anymore. Mm-hmm. Our school levies are permanent.
Right.
I mean, we ought to have a permanent levy. I mean, this is a potential problem for us. This is right in the middle of our city, and we need to have a permanent funding source for that park. And the idea, you know, so I would, when you go back and talk to the board, this one city council member thinks that we ought to have our base funding ought to be permanent.
You know, and that's an important question. I don't know if the state has that identify how this is formed have the ability to do a permanent levy, but that would be certainly a question that we could ask.
Well, cities do it, you know, we do it, the schools do it. I would really, if it's possible, that would be the first thing I would do. And I don't know what that base level is, but I would think it'd be essentially the funding that we have.
And because it's going to be a new levy and not a renewal, they have the chance to change the language.
Right.
Unless there's a requirement that it has to be every 5 years. Like the senior center goes out every 5 years. I don't know why people do those. So we need to look into that, but I think that's a good suggestion.
Well, yeah, taxpayers do like the ability to sort of approve, you know, reapprove.
Yeah, but you can't reapprove the park.
Yeah.
I mean, the park is there. We have to have funding to take care of it, or it's a problem.
Right.
I think this is a problem. I'm very curious about how they're going to address it. I mean, it's, and I'm not telling you anything.
Right.
You back up,
you know,
to it.
Doug, to your point, I have not encountered one citizen in the 10 days since this has come to light who felt this was anything other than a tragedy for our community, right? So it was unfortunate. Erica, the director, took full responsibility for making a mistake in the public meeting. So it's unfortunate, but it's just something they have to deal with.
Well, okay, but going forward, if I would really, you know, I assume whenever they do go back on the ballot, that they're going to come talk to us at some point about it.
Well, I would hope so.
And when they do, it's not permanent. I'm going to want to know how we're going to prevent this from happening again. Or for that matter, if we didn't pass it, what would we do then with this park? I mean, we have, as a community, we can't have that park without having funding for it. It's like, you know, you can't have a city without having funding for it.
Well, this is not their sole funding. This is part of their funding.
Yeah, they have some inside knowledge.
That's right.
They're going to take advantage of. But that's, I think, $300,000.
It's not enough to run the park.
And now, of course, they've expanded the system. They have 5 parks.
Right.
And so it's a bigger enterprise than it was.
Mark, do you know what the levy was going to be for?
Yeah.
Or how much per household would be impacted?
I unfortunately don't know that on the top of my head. They had a 0.6 mil levy. They added, I believe, 0.3 to it. So there was a renewal plus some new millage, but it was still under a mil.
Toby, we've looked at those numbers recently. And the schools, we just looked at the schools. They're 5.7 mils is raising 6.4 plus 1.3. So a mill is a little over $1 million in the school district.
Yeah, this would have raised for them about 1.2 million. But I can't tell you what the average homeowner would be paying. It's you know, less than $10.
$10 a month?
No.
Oh.
Less than $10 a year?
I do believe.
Not much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just think...
I don't think there was... Bonnie Hunter was a co-chair, and Neil Mahoney was involved as a co-chair, and I don't think any of us felt that it was in jeopardy. We thought that it was very passable. So the question was not that. The question is that it just was a terrible mistake.
Can you put a plea out through the media and say this is terrible that this...
Oh, the media covered it tonight. There were three television stations in the Blade.
Well, my point is to say how much money it is that we would have been paying.
Sure.
They would normally collect you $10 a year, but they don't cover it.
Donations.
They'll get some money.
Well, there will be an opportunity for that. One thing that I think is important, in some quarters, there was a little rush back on how their commissioners managed this. And they were very forthright tonight in pledging to keep the community, and particularly the community leadership, informed moving forward on the plans that they were making and what kind of decisions they were going to be bringing forth. So there might be a little bit of a change in style on their part in terms of transparency, which would be a very good thing.
Well, I think they can receive community input in what to put on the ballot sometime next year.
Yeah, their questions are what and when. And yep. I think they're very, they don't have a single mind yet about going in May, which is a primary, or going in November. Both of those are going to be relatively low turnout elections. So, we'll see. But that's the story. They were still meeting when I had to leave, but and went into executive session, actually. But no action was expected.
I did speak with Mr. Zeidler and Greg Arnold when they came out of the meeting. I just happened to be going by and gave pretty much a shorter version of what you just gave
right.
me. I don't think they decided much in executive session.
Right.
Okay. Very good. We appreciate that report.
Sure, they decided nothing in executive session.
Well, nothing that they were going to share.
Not with us, anyway.
Yeah. So it's very unfortunate. You know, you can look at any quarter on that one. The Board of Elections knew that they had certainly knew that they wanted to be on the ballot. They could ask the question.
Yeah.
Those board members, especially Mr. Zeidler, has experience in it. It's just a lot of people dropped the ball, and nobody picked it up. All right. If there's no further items on our agenda, I would like you to bring to your attention information item B. No actions required on this, but this would be a new mural in the downtown area. It is a departure from what was our first mural, which was the historic mural painted on a city-owned building. This is not a city-owned building. It is a colorful and representational mural. Because it is unusual, I asked Mr. Sanford to make sure that it went in front of the downtown business owners. And Bill, your report on that was?
It was a presentation was at the Downtown Sylvania Association, and it was positively received. There was no opposition from that group, but some spoke out strongly in favor of it. So downtown seems to be, an email had been sent out to everyone, even if they were not at the meeting. Not hear from anyone there. We did hear from, and the Arts Commission heard from a neighbor that didn't care for it, but that so far has been the only negative comment about the mural.
I would suspect that at least some of us will get some comments as it goes up there, and they're going to start painting it in the next week or two?
Yes, they're starting to prepare it, I think this weekend. There's some pre-work that has to be done, and then the first thing that has to happen is a primer
the actual painting, and then they fill in the colors after that.
This is what has been selected by the Sylvania Arts Commission, which is a commission of the city of Sylvania. But is its own board.
It's very colorful.
That's an interesting one. I wanted you to see it and not be caught unaware of it. I saw it about 6 weeks ago, and that's when I said, wait a minute, we need to have more eyes on this before we proceed. And actually, maybe my memory is wrong, but the first time I saw it, the colors were far more pastel than they are on this representation.
And these are bright. Out.
They're bright, but they're not pastels anymore. And I think that the reds and the greens in are going to blend with the downtown. The pinks and the yellows are not nearly as vivid as they were the first time. So,
I'm looking forward to it.
City of Toledo has many murals in many locations, and they have been well received in the downtown. It's hit publicity in that city, so I think we're going to do fine with it. But some will not approve.
Well, goes without saying.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our council meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, October the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for attending and staying for the whole meeting.